The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance on this 10th day of November 2025. And neither one of us would be intellectual icons or giants at the same time. Well,
or ever.
Neither one of us would be actually, would it come, would be Forrest Gumps, right?
That's true. That's absolutely true.
Well, but there are some people that say that we say strange things at times.
Sometimes, yeah.
Get ready. We'll do it again tonight, won't we?
Always, every time.
Alrighty. We're going to get into it. The scripture was the title, to be bound and thrown into the fire. I'm going to be preaching on hell this week. And I just kind of want to give the Democrats out there, those that refuse to repent, AOC and Chuckie Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Hillary, all of you out there, that Crockett woman, that boy, that woman, she has got a lot of space in her attic, I can tell you that.
That's putting it mildly.
Yeah. Yeah. She confuses herself when she's talking. And so, but anyhow, this is a heads up, you know, we're going to tell them about what's coming their way. Unless they repent, they have a chance. So they're still breathing, they're still alive, they can have a chance. Don't waste it. We're going to start in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. We're talking about these false teachers, and these are false religious teachers, but also those in the political realm, if you will. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried about, tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. And boy, I'm going to tell you, that says something there when it talks about the mists of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And he's referring to the same ones in Jude 12 and 13, those that are destined, they're false teachers, they're destined for the outer darkness of eternal hellfire. And then he says in verse 18, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure the lusts of the flesh through much wantonness. Those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. Okay, so you're talking about a couple of things there when he talks about words of vanity. Do you know what that words of vanity means?
Wouldn't it be like self-serving?
Vanity, vanity. It's emptiness. It's emptiness. All is vanity. I mean, it's worthlessness. It's not.
It's all surface.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they allure you through the lust, through much wantonness. Do you know what? As we go ahead here, wantingness is?
Wouldn't that be like kind of like lustful desires and stuff?
It's pretty much licentiousness, if you will. And so, yeah, I could say that.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we go over to verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought into bondage. Do you know what they're talking about there? When they, where they say there's liberty, how where do you find liberty?
Would that be through God?
Well, that's where we get our liberties. It comes from God. But see, with them, they're promising them this liberty, but this liberty comes from a different source. What is it that if you have enough of, you can do whatever you want?
Money?
Yeah. And this is like if you're talking about your prosperity preachers of today, your Joe Osteens, your Kenneth Copelands,
mm-hmm.
they're telling them that there's this is freedom. This is what liberty really is, having to be able to do what you want. Get up, go on this vacation, taking these vacations. This is where the good life is. And Joel Osteen says, live the good life now, right now. T.D. Jakes says he don't want to wait for his stuff. He wants his stuff now, okay? And so he's telling them that, but
it's not a very good plan.
No, he says, because, see, they're promising that if you have enough money, then you get liberty, but they themselves, it says here, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought into bondage. So they're actually slaves to sin, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's almost like, it'd be almost like a millionaire squandering all of his money before he retired and then have nothing to retire.
Yeah. It's, well, or even.
But,
even,
and I'm using that analogy kind of like retirement for us would be death and what comes after, you know.
So or there
like
would
if
be.
If you use it all now and have, like you said, I want the good life now. T.J. Jakes said, I want the good life now. Yeah, have your good life now because you're not going to have it for retirement.
So what would be a better good life, to be able to help people that are hungry, to feed the hungry?
Absolutely.
To house the homeless, to clothe the naked.
Make the world around you better for everyone, if you possibly right. can.
Even something even greater than all of that is leading people to Christ.
No, of course, yeah.
So that would be the good life now, okay? But they go even farther. But just imagine another scenario. You're one of these multi-billionaires, right? And all of a sudden, you get struck with, you're paralyzed. Something happens to you,
mm-hmm.
and here you have all this money, but your health has been taken away.
Yeah.
And you have to sit and watch other people who are going to squander your money, huh?
Yeah.
And boy, you know, here... That a lot of times these people are so afraid, they hate to, they have something that they've worshipped something, whether it be, you know, property, something they've done, they built, you know, and they hate dying and leaving this to somebody else.
Hmm.
Or they just hate not knowing what's gonna happen to this. What a waste of your life, huh?
Yeah, it's meaningless.
Yeah. And so he says, for after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The later end is worse than them than the beginning. This is really something. This is what you see in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 6 or 10. Well, through the whole book, really. What happened in those days, you had, in the early days of the church, when the Romans considered Christianity just a part of Judaism, a sect of Judaism,
mm-hmm.
And Judaism was a legal religion, so they weren't persecuted. But when the Jews convinced the Romans that, no, these Christians are not this is not part of Judaism, they're a cult, then the persecution started. But in the early days, when all of a sudden you see all these people, and they were all Jews, and it was like this new movement.
It was a trend.
A trend, like Jews for Jesus was for a while here, you know? And so you had this trend, and it was a popular movement, so they all made a profession of faith, and they said what appeared to be the right things, but now things have changed, and now the persecution was coming, and many of them were saying, you know, we didn't have this persecution under Judaism, and we were doing much better. It's time to go back to Judaism. And here's what he says here. For if they that have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the later end is worse than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Now, remember when they asked the Lord Jesus, the apostles, why do you speak to the scribes and the Pharisees in parables? And his answer was, they're going to reject me. They're not going to receive what I have to say. So it's better for them, if they perish not knowing than it is knowing what they're doing. Their punishment's going to be greater. And here, this is what he's saying, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. In other words, what do you think that way of righteousness is that he's referring to?
That Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior?
Yeah, but the thing that he's really referring to is the substitutionary death upon the cross. Everything that was in Isaiah chapter 53 and everything they rejected, okay, that here he came, he fulfilled the scripture to the letter. He fulfilled it to the exact letter. They knew who he was. They knew how he suffered, the pain that he suffered. They knew that he spilled his blood, and what they did now, they've turned, and it's like they have trampled it over underfoot.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
it's like they knew but didn't care.
Right.
Which is even worse than not knowing.
Yeah. And so, here now, he goes on to say, but it had happened unto them according to the proverb. That proverb was Proverbs 26, verse 11. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow there was washed in her wallowing in her mire. What do you think the acknowledgement, what do you think how the dog is turned to his own vomit again?
Well, the dog and the sow were both looked upon as unclean animals in that time, correct?
They were the least esteemed animals, yeah, in the Middle East. But if a dog returns to his vomit, it means he's already ate, he's regurgitated.
And he's eating it again.
Right. And so they lived in their pollution. They left their pollution. They got rid of it, and then they went back to it.
Going right back to it, yep.
Yeah. And so here, and the sow did the same thing. She had gotten out of her wallowing in her mire. Now she went back to her mire. And so, anyhow, I think that's very interesting. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, it's a perfect reflection of things that we see today. And, you know, I mean, even when it starts off, these are wells without water. I mean, what a powerful statement, you know, like that he's talking about people and like they don't have the answers. They don't have what they claim to have, you know, and that's, you could see that every day, but just turning on C-SPAN and watching Congress, you know, you could see a lot of wells without water.
Boy, you're not kidding about that. And to hear some of these people talking, it's just amazing. Just absolutely unbelievable, the foolishness that can come out of it. And here now, too, it's an amazing thing. Well, as we get through this, we're going to see. There's all kinds of changes taking place now out there. Never has there been a time like this ever where there's so where everything is to the extreme.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, now here, when he's talking about these things, he's making a point, and the point is when here about understanding, the warning. Peter's given a warning here, and yesterday we talked about this how, and I was talking about today people who have a profession of faith. So many people have a profession of faith, like these people we were talking about. They have a profession of faith,
mm-hmm.
but they don't have a possession. And here, as we get into the tares and that we're going to be looking at, we're going to see this. And it's like here today, you see people being disrespectful. God is not mocked, and we're going to take a look at that as we go through there in today. But here you see so many people that are they're in total deception. They're clueless. They're wandering around. They think because on Sunday morning they get up and they go to church for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
They think they're saved.
Yeah, they think that's enough.
Right. But there's no evidence there, no proof of salvation. See, you know, by the fruits they bear. And this is why I preach so often, and I know sometimes the folks, I can almost think, they're thinking, here he's going again, he's going to be preaching on making your salvation sure.
No, we've heard this one already, you know.
Yeah, but so many times, I know some people who I care very much about. I care very much for it. And that's and I had a conversation with a young man who I said, you know, do you ever think about your salvation? I said, when was the last time you handed out a gospel tract? I don't do that. You don't do that. He doesn't have to do that. He said, I've never done that. I said, yes, you have done that, because I remember knew when you were little, your daddy used to take you around, and you always had a pocket of gospel tracts, and you did hand them out, and I've seen you hand them out many times. And he just didn't say anything. And I said, but you're not doing that now. And I said, I have to doubt your salvation. And let me tell you something, you know, I know if I had one of my preachers had told me that they had doubts about my salvation, that would get my attention.
Yeah, big time. You know? Or at least it should.
Yeah.
And see, and that's the thing, though, too, and that's part of the reason why you continue to preach this, is because sometimes it takes several times for somebody to hear it and for it to actually hit home, for it to be hammered in. You know, to where they actually think about it and was like, well, you know what? He's right. Or I didn't catch that the last time. It didn't sink in last time. This time it did. Or maybe next time it will.
Yeah. And you have this. And I told him this. Listen, when the preacher is telling you this, the preacher is just a messenger. You know? This isn't just something that's just now happening. God's talking to you. He's telling you something. This is a wake-up call. And so the fellow smiled at me and said, I've made my salvation sure. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. But I could tell by the look in his eyes that there was some doubt there.
A little bit of doubt, yeah.
And so, and hopefully I put enough fear into him that he will make that salvation sure. And it takes prayer. You got to go to the Lord and pray. and ask him to give you that peace that passes all understanding. And you'll know, because when you start having, you'll have a burning desire to serve God. When you have that desire to serve God, you know that the Holy Ghost is working within you, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go over to Galatians chapter 6. And in Galatians 6, verses 6 through 10. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto them that teaches in all good things. Well, that word communicate, koinoneo in the Greek actually, is a word that it's not the same as we mean to communicate. That actually means to share,
mm-hmm.
To share. Well, actually, it would be almost like to communicate. In other words, to be a witness, to witness people, unto him that teaches. Let him that is taught in the word share unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived. Here we go. God is not mocked.
Mm-mm.
For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Boy, okay, again, you know, we talked about this something before. God's not mocked. There are people, and we've seen this before, and I've noticed, first of all, a couple things. God can be mocked in different ways. One way, you know, I've noticed so many times families, it used to be in restaurants, we'd go out to restaurants and we'd see a family, you know, there'd be four or five kids and the father would be praying. And back in those days, unless there was a drunk in the room someplace, you know, things, you know, people were polite enough to not to say anything, but there were times where there'd be some low intelligence people in there.
Yeah, some wise guy.
Some Democrats, yeah.
Yeah.
And they would say something like, ask him if he'll pay the bill, you know. You know, or ask him if he'll pick up the check. It's things like this. But then there would be others, and I've seen others, where the father would say, let's ask a blessing and bow, you know. And there would be some of the kids would look around and they would be embarrassed. And
mm-hmm.
The Lord Jesus said, if you're ashamed of him before men, what happens?
I'll be ashamed of you before him.
That's right, before God, right? Before the Father.
Yep.
And so here when he's talking about God is not mocked, I remember, well, the Bible gives you a lot of examples of people who mocked God and found out the hard way. You know, we know about Haman over there with Queen Esther and wanting to get rid of the Jews and Mordecai. You know, God wasn't mocked. Haman ended up getting hung on the gallows he built for Mordecai. And then you had, I remember, Nebuchadnezzar stood on his balcony, held out his arms, and said, all of this have I built. God was listening, right? And
yeah, God, he built.
Yeah, excuse me, who built? Okay. Who gave you these things, right? What do you know about grass? You're about to learn more about grass than you ever wanted to know. And then, of course, there was Herod the Magnificent, who was giving that wonderful, on his birthday, dressed in a suit of silver, standing in as the sunlight was reflected, and those that were trying to garner his praise, so especially those who wanted to, you know, to do trade there with through him in his area, they told him, you're not a man. Only a God speaks like that. He was waxing eloquently, right?
Mm-hmm.
Only a God speaks like that. And then he should have rent his garment right there. He should have rent it. But he didn't. He received the worship and was eaten alive by worms. And you know, I think
that's not pleasant.
No. I think that was the very story that was on Elvis's mind when he was performing and those women put up that sign that says, Elvis is king. He had a look of fear on his face. I mean, it was like, take it down now, okay? And because he had known about the whole story about
Herod
the Magnificent. So we'll be back right after this. winter's morning on a sidewalk in the city. A lost soul approached me as the snow was getting deep. I could see the look of death. It was there in her eyes now as I began to preach. She began to speak. She said,
Peter, I'll admit it. I've come to kill my baby. The whole world is telling me that I have that right. But deep down inside me, I believe what you're preaching. Children are a gift of God. We've got to give them life.
So I put my arm around her and I gave her the gospel. It was right there in the darkness that she would see the light. Souls were saved, both her and her baby. If you're called to do the Lord's work, you had better learn to do it right. You've got to know how to please Him, not just to please Him. Don't try to walk away, there's nowhere to run. You better come to your blessing.
Please Him while you're able.
He's the keeper of your soul. Now every preacher knows the rock of his salvation. I'll separate the goats from all the sheep. All men are sinners. They all need a Savior. He's the only one to trust in. It's your soul that he'll keep. And when I finish preaching,
woman was a believer. A baby in her womb I knew she would keep. And now 25 years later, her baby is a young preacher. She's so very proud of the baby that she decided to keep. You got to know how to please Him, not just to please Him. Don't try and walk away. Not just to please Him.
Don't try to walk away. There's nowhere to run. You better count your blessings and do it while you're able. He's the keeper of your soul now. He's got the Son. You got to know how to please Him.
Not just to please Him. Don't try and walk away. There's nowhere to run. You better count. Please Him while you're able. He's the keeper of your soul now. He's got the soul.
Amen. You know what? And here, it's snowing outside. Out there, as I'm watching the snow coming down here, and I was thinking about, I think about that day. That's a true song. That happened, Kenny. It was a... Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was probably 35, 40 years ago. I was there at Blood Alley, Shaker Boulevard, right along the rapid there, and in front of the Bloody Surgery Center abortion mill. And it was early in the morning. It was about 7 o'clock. It was still dark out, about this time of year. And here I could see through the lights down... way down the sidewalk, I could see this just a shadow, this figure coming up. But it was like an aura of darkness around her. It was like a shadow of death. You could see a shadow of death out there. And so it was snowing pretty hard. And as she got closer, she got up close, I looked at her. And I said, you've come here to kill your baby, hasn't you? Haven't you? And she said, yeah, I have. And I said, why are you going to do that? She says, because they said my baby would be born without a brain, okay? And it was an interesting thing. She was a white girl, and I said, yeah, well, then the father of your baby was black. She says, why did you say that? I said, because that's what they tell all the white girls whose fathers are black. They tell them all that. And then the others, you know, They had other stories. And so...
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And so I said, let me ask you something. If you know, you go in there to kill your baby, good chance you could die too. It happens quite often. And I said, if that happened, where would you end up? And she said, I'd probably go to hell, wouldn't I? I said, yeah, you'd probably go to hell. I said, is that where you want to go? She said, no, no. I said, what are you going to do about it? She said, I don't know. What can I do about it? I said, well, what you got to do is repent, call upon the name of the Lord, and receive Christ as your Savior, and then you'll be on your way to eternity. And she said, how do I do it? I said, just here, repeat after me. Now, it's snowing out,
mm-hmm.
and it's coming down. I didn't ask her. She got on her knees right there on that sidewalk, on that busy sidewalk. And she took my hand, and she repeated, and she repented of her sin, asked the Lord into her heart. And then, when she got up, I said, told her, you just did the most important thing you'll ever do. You'll never do anything, ever, that means as much as what you just did out here on this cold winter day.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, now let me ask you a question. Who's bigger, God or your problem? And she said, God is, isn't he? And I said, he is. And I said, you just been received life twice. And she said, I'm going to keep my baby. She had the baby, sent me a picture and a letter.
And it had a brain?
Yep, it had
wow.
a brain. And years later, it turned out from what I heard, he became a preacher.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so...
So that one baby saved probably saved countless other lives.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's something I noticed about that, too. It seems like when you have a situation like that, that they'll actually come by and bring that baby until, for some reason, the baby hits 3 years of age. And after the 3 years of age, you don't see them. And I think it's because they don't ever want the baby to know that you were going to, you know, kill him.
Oh.
But you just wonder why is it that they picked that number 3? Why isn't it 4? Why isn't it 5? But I don't know. But anyhow, I do know that after that, I had several others that would bring the baby back around and show me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I praise the good Lord for that. And so... Anyhow, I got some real stories. I tell in those DVDs, especially one how it was a story of how, well, that's in the DVDs. I don't want to use up all the program on that. We'll have those new DVDs, number 5 and 6, coming out soon.
Nice.
In fact, I think they'll be out next week.
Oh, nice. Next week's Pledge Week, right?
Yep. They'll be out for Pledge Week.
Perfect timing.
All righty. New ways to show anti-ICE rioters who is in charge. Department of Homeland Security agents now have broader authority to charge people with crimes against federal property amid repeated rioting at the immigration facilities. The DHS enacted a rule on Wednesday titled Protection of Federal Property that allows more law enforcement action against rioters. The agency told the Daily Caller News Foundation in an exclusive statement, officers guarding DHS buildings may arrest those wearing a mask while committing a crime, using unmanned aircraft such as drones to damage federal property, or tampering with government tech systems, obstructing access, impeding federal employees from performing official duties, disorderly conduct and threatening to commit any violent crimes. Under President Donald Trump's Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, we will not tolerate violence perpetuated by Antifa and other domestic extremists who are targeting federal property and law enforcement, DHS spokesperson to Tricia McLaughlin told the DCNF, law and order will prevail.
Good, good. Examples must be set, because if you don't, as we saw during the Summer of Love 2020, with all the riots and all the looting and and the fires, the cities that were being burnt down, that nothing happened to those people, and it continued. So when you have people breaking the law, they need to be held accountable, because otherwise there's no deterrent for someone else to do it. Once you start prosecuting people for breaking the law, you'll see that crime goes down, because other people say, oh, well, I guess there's consequences now. I'm not doing this.
Well, you heard what some of the Democrats have said out there. And it's an interesting thing, because back when I was growing up, when you would have these, you would very rarely see any women out there.
Mm-hmm.
You would never. When you would have, especially if you had, like, back in those days, mostly, if there were going to become some kind of a mob violence, it would have to do with unions. Usually, it was usually a union strike, but you would never see women out there today. And there seems to be more females out there, and they're actually saying, once enough of us are killed, the others will wake up and come out and join and stand with us. And yeah. I don't really think it's going to happen that way.
I don't think so. No, I don't. I don't see getting any kind of Kent State type response, unless they're shooting first, you know.
Yeah,
I don't see anything like that happening. Definitely not with this administration.
You know. one of the most foolish clown of a politician I know is Gavin Newsom of California, mm-hmm. Governor. When this guy had come out and said the one thing that irritates him, upsets him the most, is lying politicians, I said, oh my, you know, I can't believe this. Here's a guy that, you know, nobody I know has ever heard him tell the truth.
I know. Yeah. I know. One of the biggest liars out there.
But there's a state representative, Texas, Wesley Hunt. He blasted Gavin Newsom last week. In fact, it was a week ago. He was accusing him of rolling out a brand new accent to pander to black audience, when all of a sudden, you know, like Hillary, when Hillary pulled out her hot sauce, when she was, and all of a sudden she kind of had a black accent.
I don't feel no ways tired. There's that's that clip that was out there for so long. And then there were several other ones where, depending on where she was, she had a different accent.
Yeah.
And they would all do that, though. Like, yeah. You notice Kamala started doing that as well. They all do that. It's crazy, and that's one thing that, you know, people do love about Trump, is that he's the same person. Doesn't matter who he's talking to, he's always the same person.
And Trump actually has a for real sense of humor too.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
And anyhow,
he's hilarious.
I don't know if you noticed over the weekend the football games there, where the football players, when they scored a touchdown, they did the Trump dance.
The Trump dance, yeah. He was in attendance. That was I think it was the Commanders and the Lions, the Washington game. He was in attendance. They did some ceremony, I think, at halftime.
Yeah.
And they even did a flyover with Air Force One. It was epic.
Well, you know, if I was Trump, I would demand the Commanders to go back to Washington Redskins. They were doing just fine.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you know, there was nothing wrong with the Redskins. Even the logo was commissioned through a Native American tribe. There was absolutely nothing wrong with it. The same thing with the Cleveland Indians. Chief Wahoo, okay, I get it. You know, yeah, the caricature, I understand. I knew that its time was over, you know, for that. I got that. I saw the writing on the wall, but the name itself was fine.
I haven't watched an Indians game since they changed the name.
Yeah, I honestly, they make it so hard to watch, you know, because you've got to have all these different packages with these different providers to get, like, just put it back on Channel 43 like it used to be, and, you know, people would watch it. It's supposed to be America's pastime, you know, to where the game's on, because there was a game on almost every day, you know. So the game's on, you throw the game on in the background while you're doing things, and oh, you hear the crowd getting excited, and then for a home run, you run in there and you take a look, and maybe you sit down and watch some of it or something. But it was always on in the background, if nothing else. And yeah, they took that away by greed. It's all greed. They had to try to make more money.
Well, the woke thing, the bending down to woke. In other words, you know.
Well, that's just the final nail in the coffin, yeah. Really.
To me, that's just the compromises. I've had enough of compromise. Had enough of DEI, had enough of woke, had enough of all of that. And watch. House Bill 1, HIB Bill 1, could end opt, close loopholes, and reshape U.S. immigration forever. Okay. Rosemary Jenkins, co-founder of the Immigration Accountability Project, joins Elizabeth Farah to reveal the insider details on a sweeping new HIB reform bill that she says will be the strongest in 35 years. Jenkins explains how this bill would end opt-out of black students' visa loopholes and block student visa loopholes and end foreign workers to reapply from abroad, closing the backdoor systems that have gutted the American workforce. Good. And in other words, bringing all those old people over here taking the jobs because you have a lot of these young people today, especially, the Gen Zers. Yeah, the Gen Zers. Well, you know, one of the things about those Gen Zers, the young men, the Gen Zers are turning to the right. They're going,
becoming more conservative.
Yeah, the women haven't. The young girls, they've been too easily indoctrinated.
And manipulated, yeah.
Yeah, and but anyhow, the interesting thing was, you know, when in 1991, the first-time home buyers, the average age was a first-time home buyer was 28 years old. Today, the average age of a first-time home buyer is 40. Did you know that?
Oof.
Yeah,
I mean, it makes sense, and with what you got going on with like BlackRock and some of these other companies that are buying up homes, that it's even harder. And not only is it harder for people to save the money and afford the mortgage, but it's harder to actually get the house itself, because as soon as it goes on the market, these big corporations are buying them up.
Now, I bought my first house in 1969. And guess what? At that time, I paid $24,000 for it. Recently, that house, the estimated value on that house, of course, there's been a lot of work put into it, you know, is about $280,000.
And it's probably not even really that much, but that's what it was appraised for, so they can raise your property tax.
Yeah, they sure doing a lot of that, haven't they?
They certainly have. Property taxes over the last 10 years have increased
300%.
Yeah, it's got to be insane, an insane amount. Yeah, 300% might even be mild.
Yeah, but here are these Gen Zers. They're having real difficult times finding work. So there's so many of them that are out of work, and the reason these young males are going to the right, one of the things they realize is their jobs were given to illegal aliens.
Yep.
And so, anyhow.
And you got a lot more of them that are going into trades as well, as opposed to going to college and getting the giant student debt loan or student loan debt and a worthless degree. You know, for a lot of degrees are absolutely worthless.
Well, not only that, but they're going to the trade schools. The that's where the money's at now.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh yeah, yeah. You could instantly start making money even as an apprentice. You're making good money.
Oh yeah.
And you're learning a trade, something that's never going to go out of business. You know, we're always going to need plumbers. You're always going to need electricians. Regardless what AI takes over, AI's not going to take over plumbing.
Like, and carpentry.
And carpentry and physical labor work, you know, stuff like that. Maybe eventually with robots and stuff, but I mean, that's when it gets down to that, when we have robot plumbers, there's not going to be any jobs for any of us.
Well, somebody's going to have to tell the robot what to do.
That's true.
Yeah, you know, and so, you know, you have to program it. It used to be, we used to have mechanics. Today, auto mechanics, today, they're technicians. And they're more likely to be wearing a white jacket working on your car than they're greasy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it comes
work
to,
shirt,
I mean,
work
shirts, yeah. Today they're all tech, and well, of course, the price of everything, my gosh, you know, when I go to buy a car, it costs a couple times what my first house costs.
Yeah. Oh, easily. Easily. What would you say, $24,000 for your first house? Good luck finding a car for anywhere near that. Good luck.
Yeah. It's, well, you can find one, but...
Yeah, but, I mean, it's not going to last you more than a year.
All righty. Did you know what's taking place up there in Mexico?
Up there?
Yeah. Down there in Mexico.
Down there, yes.
Yeah. Well, it's up there if you're in Panama.
Well, that's true. I guess a perspective.
Yeah. So,
do we have people listening in Panama? We might.
Yeah. Anyhow, well, we're worldwide on the internet.
That's
true.
People
listen to us. I hear from them now and then from, there's a doctor out there in Australia that contacts us every now and then. She's a faithful listener. We have a Rabbi Elliot from Jerusalem who listens to us on a kind of regular basis, from what I understand.
Nice.
Then we have a fellow in Ireland who owns a real castle. But anyhow, here, what's happening down there in Mexico is that the Mexican people are so fed up with the drug cartels and the murdering. They just murdered in broad daylight another mayor. When you get, and of course, they buy off the police, they buy off the bodyguards,
mm-hmm.
and their president, that Scheinbaum, she's in cahoots with the drug cartels, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so here the Mexican people are forming militias, and they're begging President Trump. They're begging President Trump to send in special forces and take out. And Trump has already told Scheinbaum that he may well do that, to come in and take them out, okay, the drug cartels, right in there. And the people are now forming militias, hoping Trump will support them.
Good for them.
Yep.
Well, speaking of, we were talking about mayors. Did you see the St. Paul, Minnesota, elected a self-proclaimed illegal alien as mayor?
Yeah, I know, yeah. And you see, Bangor, Maine, elected a communist?
Yeah.
Who they say was a convicted murderer? I don't know how that. I just saw that.
I don't know. I didn't see that, but
doesn't tell you too much about the intelligence of the people in Bangor, Maine, does it?
No, not at all. No.
Now, we have people there listening to us, and so you folks out there, if you're listening tonight in Bangor, Maine, if you're not stupid, if we open the phone lines, if you're not stupid, call us. If you are stupid,
don't bother.
Right. Call a Democrat.
Yes. Okay.
But anyhow, it's just amazing. So, by the way, speaking about that, you see who Bernie Sanders is saying now is the head of the Democratic Party?
No.
Bernie is saying that this, what's his name, Zoran
Mamdami? Mamdami?
Dumundi.
Dumundi.
Yeah, Dumundi. The Zoran Dumundi is the new leader of the Democratic Party.
Wow.
And some of the other Democrats, like AOC and others, they're saying no, that Bernie Sanders is dumb. He's a dumb Democrat, okay? And so right now there's a real battle going on within, because the screamers within the collective there, they've been intimidating the, the normal Democrat, but how could you be a normal Democrat?
That's an oxymoron.
Yeah. But they've been intimidating the screamers, those that the socialists, and some of them are starting to defect. They're saying they've had enough of being yelled at, screamed at, and intimidated, and they're going to start standing up against the screamers. What do you think? You think they will?
Maybe a little bit. There might be a little bit of show about it, but I don't think so, though. I don't think, and if they try, I don't think it's going to have any effect. I think they're too far gone.
What do you think Bernie Sanders should do?
Retire.
I don't know. You know, he's. I don't know. I mean, they've thrown him under the bus twice, and he seems to like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, maybe he's a glutton for punishment.
He could be. I mean, it don't look good, does it?
No, not at all. Does not look good. I mean, but again, I mean, you can't count them out. The one thing that they do have is they always stick together.
Yeah, but that's right now they're having a kind of a big battle going
on.
No,
I think it's a fake battle. I think it's a fake battle. I think this is exactly what they would have done 4 or 5 weeks ago. I think these 8 were pre-selected. Then they were just waiting until after the election because they were trying to use this to boast their numbers for the election. And they got this big blue tsunami, which is all garbage because these Democrats won in Democrat states. You know, well, like that's what was going to happen pretty much anyways.
Well, that's true. But the idea of now of having a communist, this is where they've wanted to go all this time. They wanted to take this big leap right now, right from being just a Democrat to a communist, and that's what they were anyhow. And so,
yeah, now it's more in the open.
Now out in the open, and here they're really they're attracting a lot of your young and dumb, mostly. The women are going communist, not the males so much.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming up to a break. When we come back from the break, I'll explain. We're going to play a clip. And we played this clip about 2 weeks ago. We got so many people, so much feedback on it again. And you'll know why once we play this clip. And it's kind of a long clip. But so when we get back, you listen to it, folks. It'd be good to take notes because we're telling you all about this election fraud, the whole story, and what you didn't hear in the fake news media. Be right back after this. Don't go away. More to come.
Fight the fight. Fight the lie. We are there. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Gaines Super Flings are here to take your laundry to the next level.
Talking about Gaines Super Flings. proper size laundry packs. These things are huge. Super fresh, super clean. Gains Super Flings.
Gains Super Flings laundry packs have 4 times the Oxi cleaning power and 3 times the Febreze freshness versus Gain Original Liquid.
Super fresh, super clean. Gains Super Flings.
Gains Super Flings for next level laundry.